Welcome to the Sports Scouting Report Podcast with Lee Brekeen.
Hi, everyone. You're listening to the Sports Scouting Report. I'm your host, Lee Brekeen. Our guest today is John Lambert. John, I met way back at Hahnville High School when he was at Hahnville a coach. Went to East Ascension High School, coached a few years. Franklinton High School, where he's not only a coach, but powerlifting. They started powerlifting because John's big into the weightlifting, and he's really done great things for Franklinton with their powerlifting team. We'll talk about everything with this coming year with John. And John, thanks for joining us all the way from, I want to say Tangibo Parish, but really St. Tammany kind of. I mean, we're out there, way out there in Franklinton, Louisiana.
Washington Parish.
Washington Parish, right, right.
Yeah, you can throw a rock and hit Mississippi from us.
I mean, you know, you got Bugaloosa not far away, Pearl River's not that far away, and then around that circle, you know, I mean, you go an hour any direction or 45 minutes, Amy, Kentwood, you know, Covington, Mandeville, talent everywhere.
A little bit of talent around us for sure. There's plenty of talent here too.
John, talk about currently your status, because there might be a chance you're not coaching this year, but we'll get into everything with Franklinton. You've been at Franklinton for 6 years? I mean, I'm shocked. It doesn't even feel like 6 years that you've been at Franklinton.
Yeah, it jumps up on you how quick it goes by. Somebody mentioned the other day, I coached with Lou Valden and Mike Silva down at Hahnville, and Louie retired and is now coaching at Shaw, and Mike Silva has retired from Hahnville, and he's going to be coaching at Sanamon. So we were talking about the other day about we've been in, all of us together, if you put it together, over 100 years of coaching.
Man.
So it goes, it just flies by.
Well, I mean, you know, technically it's 6 years at Franklinton, but there might be a chance you're not coaching this year. Is that right? And you're still going to help at powerlifting, though.
Yeah, when I originally came this way, my intention was, you know, all of us who have families, you want to be around your kids. You want to be a part of their high school life. And so I have a son who's going to be a senior who's a basketball player. My oldest son graduated. He goes to Nichols. And my daughter is a ninth grader. She's a power lifter, throws discus, javelin, and shot put.
Man.
So I'm very involved with powerlifting. And I'll still be around the football program because I just love those kids to death.
We'll talk about powerlifting later in the show, but Coach Lambert, talk about, I mean, all the football program. You were at East St. John High School with Dotrice.
Yeah.
I mean, you've been around some offensive geniuses. Lou Valden had been around the block. He had been at Shaw as an assistant to Hank Turney, and then you were with him. He was at Hahnville, East Ascension. You were around a lot of great talent there. East St. John and LaPlace. I mean, what's your opinion? It's like food tasting in restaurants. Everything is a little different. But what – you've seen a little bit of everything. LaPlace, you know, Hahnville, Franklinton, you know.
There's just – when you get in the river parishes, it's just a different world. You know, I got to spend – I was with Lou Valden from 99 to 2006 at Hahnville, and we were 81-19. In that window of time, we had Darius Raynard, who played in the NFL.
West Virginia.
We had, played at West Virginia and scored touchdowns all over the place. Has become a very successful gym owner in the Prairieville, Gonzales area.
Huh.
Owns a Gold's Gym.
Man.
And is bigger and stronger than I've ever seen him.
Whoa,
and
that's
blames
scary.
Me
that's
for
scary.
It.
That's scary, Coach,
because
he was pretty dang
it's
strong.
It's amazing. Oh, he was a wonderful kid. You know, we had the Landry brothers, DeJuan and LaRon, both played in the league for a substantial amount of time. Played at LSU, played at Georgia Tech. So there were so many kids. And, you know, the Facebook thing has – I've stayed in contact with so many of these kids. And not only were they successful on the football field, but they've moved on into life. And a lot of them just have wonderful lives and doing great things. And they all remember back. But the funny part is the only things they remember is what they called my torturous weight room.
The pushing them to get to be the best they can be. You were the Moffat. You Moffat-sized them and Lambert-sized them over there at Hahnville.
I tried to. You know, the great part, the one of the greatest guys that I think I'll go to my grave with a loyalty to Lou Valden that I don't think can be rivaled. He just, it was the greatest boss. He allowed you to coach. He was funny. His little way of digging me when I was his offense coordinator was, if we weren't having a particularly successful offensive night, we would get the ball on first down and maybe gain 3 or 4 yards, and it was, you know, second and six.
Yeah.
And he would yell for the punt team to get ready. And I would just turn and say, hey, Louie, how about a little faith? Huh? He goes, I'm just getting ready. And you just got to know Lou.
Yeah. One thing about Lou, I don't know if you went with us, but I remember there was a coaches convention in Baton Rouge, you know, the one time every year. And I saw Lou at the convention. Lou said, what you doing after the convention? I said, well, I'm probably going back to work. He said, well, man, we're going to the movies. he said, you want to go to the movies? What, with me and the staff? I said, yeah, man, I never go to a daytime movie. You know, it's coaches convention week. Y'all are all here, you know, just hanging out.
So right.
We all go to the movies and watch a comedy at like, 3 o'clock in the afternoon in Baton Rouge, you know. And Lou passes out like 10 minutes into the movie. I'm like, Lou, the movie started. And he's like, oh, okay, yeah.
He is, he was, there's so many, you know, down that bayou. And when I, you know, when I left, I was at De La Salle before I came to Hanville.
Yeah.
You know, and you spend those 6 years I was at De La Salle was the end of the Hank Tierney at Shaw phase.
Yeah.
It was the end of the Bobby Conlon years.
Wow, brother.
Tony Biegas.
Whoa, St.
Was it Aug? You had Richie Walker over at Holy Cross.
Yeah, man.
You know, and I get to, the other day, I sat down and on PBS, they had the Glory Day documentary.
Yeah.
Where they were talking about the Catholic League. And, you know, it's amazing that I got the chance to coach against those guys.
Yeah.
Because of the legendary status. And then I end up with Lou Valden at Hanville. And Louie just, he's so New Orleans. He's so West Bank New Orleans. He taught me so much. And to have that opportunity to go coach at South Lafourche, you know, I don't think they do it anymore. Actually, the head coach of South Lafourche is a kid named B.J. Young.
Yeah,
who played,
yeah.
Right, he played for me at Hanville. He's a great kid. He's going to have great success. But we always joke and laugh. Whenever South Lafourche would score a touchdown, they had this giant acrylic box with a dead tarpon in it that had been stuffed, and they dragged that tarpon up and down the sideline. And I can remember that. And then the first time we ever went to Central Lafourche, and the team comes running out of the tunnel, and they're led by a white horse and a kid because they're the Trojans, he's in a Trojan outfit, and he's riding out there with a sword. And I was like, wow, USC, you just don't see that very
often.
Yeah. And, you know, and then you go down to Thibodeau, and we're in the middle of warm-ups at Thibodeau, and I'm waiting for rap music to come on or the band to start playing. Nope, they played straight Zydeco.
And
not one kid was complaining. All the heads were just bopping with the beat. We were just laughing about it.
And during that phase, Coach, this brings memories back to me, and you would know this too. You're talking about the 90s and early 2000s. They didn't have those blow-up mascots when the team rolled out in the smoke and all that. That just started coming in, you know, the last 15, 18 years. I remember going to a Salmon game. And the works, I call it the theater works of the kids coming out to the field, the smoke and the big blow up mascot that's like 30 foot tall, and and the cheerleaders run out in front of the team and the band plays. That started. We didn't see that in the '80s and early '90s. Guys just
ran out. Oh no! And I can remember we went to Terrebonne High School, and Terrebonne shares with HL, but in the end zone. Before Terrebonne would come out, they had THS in like metal or in rebar or whatever it was made of. And they would light that on fire.
Whoa.
And so Terrebonne's coming out of the other end, and this THS is on fire. And I was standing there with Louie, and I said, they just lit that wood, that metal on fire. How are they doing that? He goes, Don't ask. It's the Bayou.
Don't ask. Okay, Coach, we're going to take a break. When we come back, I want to ask you about the biggest bowed up player ever, and I know you had something to do with it, like helping him get there, LaRon Landry, the most physically built DB on the planet. I've never seen a DB 230 pounds with 2% body fat playing in the NFL. I mean, we'll be back, and I know that you being this power coach, strength coach, I want to get your take on how did LaRon go, the hard work that he put in when he signed at LSU, weighed 180, and he just put in the work and became one of the strongest-looking free safeties I've ever seen in my life. He's a freak of nature and built. We'll be right back.
No doubt.
More. John Lambert, Coach John Lambert's joining us today. We'll be right back. Listen, whatever you're driving right now, Tommy Harvey wants it. Bring it in to Harvey Subaru, Lexus of Shreveport, Bossier City, or John Harvey Toyota. They're paying big bucks for all trades right now. They'll cut you a check right there. Tell them Lee sent you. Welcome back. Our guest today is John Lambert, a great assistant coach, been around the game over 30 years, currently helping with powerlifting, was with the football program 6 years coaching, East St. John, coach with Dotrieve, Hanville, the legendary Lou Valden, legendary coach Dotrieve, if you know Dotrieve. And then, also, like you said, De La Salle and some other stops along the way, East Ascension. Coach, I got to ask you about LaRon Landry. He was on the cover of the magazine, him and DeJuan. I remember when you were on the staff, we put him on the cover, and y'all actually put that in the gym. I walked in, and I'm like, dang, y'all got the magazine in there. But LaRon, I remember LaRon playing quarterback in Hanville, and I remember he was a tall, thin guy, strong thin guy. And then he comes to LSU. He's about 190, 185. And then his sophomore year, junior year, he's like 210. Benching, I don't know, you'll know what he benches, but he was benching crazy numbers at LSU. And then he goes to the NFL and he's 230, 6'2 at free safety. I mean, that's a lot. But his build, Coach, his physique, he looked like Mr. Universe. I've never seen a DB look like him.
And there's a couple great stories about LaRon. After he went to LSU that first year, I think he realized, now with us, he was crazy strong, but he never kept weight on. LaRon was, he played quarterback, played free safety, ran track. He was just constantly in motion and burning calories. When he got to LSU and they got the nutritionist and set his plan and kind of got him in a vein where he could gain weight, I think he realized how big his traps could be.
Yeah.
His traps are the muscles right up by his neck. He came back to work out one day, and I got my freshman group in at Hanville, and they're in the weight room working out. And when he comes in, he just pulls his shirt off and starts lifting. Well, his traps are so big that he's LaRon Landry. He's got an L tattooed on one and an L tattooed on the other, and they face you. You can see him. And all my little freshman kids were like,
wow.
Coach, are we going to look like that? Yes. Yes, you will. When you get out of here, that's what you'll look like. Keep lifting. That one is a great story about LaRon. And then his senior year, we made it to the semis, and we were playing Acadiana with Ali Broussard.
Oh, man. What a good
one. And, and so LaRon was playing quarterback, and we knew, and Louie knew. Louie was the one who ran the defense. Louie said, look, in order for us to win this game, LaRon's going to have to play both legs. So let's be real simple with the offensive game plan here. Because he's going to have to tackle Broussard some. And I tell you, Lee, a couple of the collisions at the line of scrimmage between Broussard and LaRon were legendary. You could hear it. You could hear it in New Iberia from Acadiana's field. But it was a great game. First play of the game, LaRon Landry scrambled and went 60 for a touchdown.
So people know this, people that are not from Hanville or Acadiana, Ali Broussard was 225 pounds of muscle, 6 foot.
Yep.
And LaRon was what, probably 185, 180 at the time, 6'2"?
Maybe 190 on a good night, and would pass up an interception to try and take somebody's head off.
But that's a collision. I mean, and he's winning those collisions too with Ali, and Ali's got him by 30 pounds.
Listen, Broussard was a monster. And actually, I think he set a state rushing record for the first half. But there were times where I was trying to make adjustments with LeRon, and he was so winded and out of breath from playing both ways, and he was on special teams, that there was just no change in anything. And we ended up losing that game to Acadiana. It's tough to win there anyway.
Yeah. Coach, I'm going to take a break. I want to share a story with you about Justin Vincent and Ollie Broussard. I went to a game. Think of this. Justin Vincent, Barb, Ollie Broussard, Acadiana. I went to that game when they were up against each other, their juniors. That was a classic. 300 yards of rushing between the two of them, 8 touchdowns.
Barb,
Justin Vincent was in his prime before his knee injuries. He had some knee injuries at LSU and prior to that, but that was one of the greatest games. We'll talk more about that. We'll be right back with more Coach John Lambert. Looking for a used car? Harvey Autos has 3 dealerships, which means 3 times the used vehicles. They've got everything from fuel-efficient compacts to luxury models, even hybrids, and certified pre-owned with a warranty. Check out John Harvey Toyota, Harvey Subaru, or Lexus of Shreveport, Bossier City. Welcome back. You listen to the Sports Scouting Report. Our guest today is John Lambert, who's at Franklinton. Helping. We're going to talk about powerlifting later in the show. We're going to give kudos to his girls and boys. He's got one of the best powerlifting teams in the state. We're going to talk about some of their great prospects at Franklinton this year. I want to talk to Coach about some of the 21 guys. I saw Coach this year at the St. Charles Catholic game. I was at the game with my mask on. It was a different feeling, but I went to the game, and I saw you, Coach, and then Coach Monica, it brings me to memories. That was one of the last home games I saw him coach. He retired, Coach Monica, St. Charles Catholic. And they were very talented. Y'all played as tough as y'all could. Y'all were a young team. We'll get to that later. But get to a story I want to share with the listeners and also Coach Lambert. But I went to Acadiana High School, Coach, and Barb came to town, and Justin Vincent was a junior. He's probably 5'10", about 200, and then Ollie was 225 since he could walk, probably 6 foot. And Ollie was incredible. I mean, he was Leonard Fournette of Lafayette. And Justin Vincent was he was like a Marcus Allen type, deceptively fast and power. And he was so great with his hands, too, out of the backfield. High school teams couldn't guard him. But those two guys – one would score a touchdown, Coach. The other one come back, score a touchdown. One would score a touchdown. And I'm not talking about Barb and Acadiana. They both just kept matching touchdowns. 8 touchdowns. It might have been 9 touchdowns between the two of them. And finally, the clock got down to about 2 minutes, and somebody had to win and lose. The home team, you know, prevailed in Acadiana. But Broussard had like 200 yards. Vincent had about 230 yards.
I mean, wow.
It was just incredible to see those two guys go at it, and people said, well, man, how good are they going to be at LSU? I said, well, barring an injury, they're going to be pretty good. And Justin Vincent, they won a national championship against Oklahoma. He had a great game in that game. And then Ollie Broussard had a lot of injuries. Otherwise, I think, I don't know, Coach, you know this, you saw him play also. I thought he was a first-round pick before he hurt his knee.
If you looked at his quads and his thighs, you just looked, man, it was just pure power when he ran the football. You know, that's the thing about coaching in Louisiana. If you did it for a decade, you're going to come across some kids whose talent surpasses anything you've ever seen.
Yeah.
You know, Barb had a center who went to LSU. I think his name was Miller.
Ron Miller.
Yeah. I'll tell you a good story about him. We played Barb in the playoffs, and I'm not sure what year it was, but it was his senior year. In the middle of the first or second quarter, he's a right-handed center. He comes toward our sideline off of an interception and hits one of our linemen. Big collision on our sideline. They both pop up.
Coach, he's 6'6", 310.
Oh, yeah. He was a big boy.
Yeah.
And he gets up. As he's jogging away, I can see that right arm hang. And I told Lou Valden, I said, Lou, I'm telling you, that kid just separated his shoulder. And he was the, you know, he was the linchpin in the middle of that offensive line. He was what ran that bunch. Mm-hmm. That kid goes to the sideline. They pop that shoulder back in, and he played middle of the second quarter, third and fourth quarter, and snapped left-handed.
Ooh.
And never missed a beat. Never missed a beat.
Wow.
And people said, Coach, how do you think he's going to be at LSU? Like you said, barring injury, that kid is fabulous. That's just tough.
Yeah, he was a big guy. His brother was a 6'4 quarterback, remember? He was a little older than him.
That's right.
And he went to McNeese. Big kids in that family. And then, you know, Trey Quinn came out of there. And Smith, the Deshaun Smith injuries got him at LSU. He was a heck of a tight end at Barb. They had some great players. Slade Nagel, coach at Tulane, was a quarterback at Barb. He was a great quarterback. And Acadiana, man, I mean, they've had some great punters and kickers go to LSU and Alabama. They had Ollie Broussard. They've got some coming up, and obviously they're on top of the world winning championships. Coach, take another quick break. When we come back, I want to start talking about these Franklinton kids, the 221 class that you helped coach this past year. Get your thoughts on it. Some of these guys haven't signed yet, and maybe this will help them, you know, bringing it out. And we'll talk about 222, and then you're at the end, I want to talk about your powerlifting team at Franklinton that you're still involved with, even though you're not coaching this year, because you started the program there, and y'all got a great team. And we'll get to that, too. But we'll be right back with more of John Lambert. Coach John Lambert, Franklinton High School. We'll be right back. So, hey, guys, just wanted to take a minute to tell you about Harvey Autos. If you need a new or used car, there's three great dealerships right here worth checking out. John Harvey Toyota, Harvey Subaru, and Lexus of Shreveport, Bossier City. Low prices, honest people, tell them Lee sent you. Welcome back. You're listening to Sports Scouting Report. Our guest is John Lambert, who's going to be helping with the power team. He started powerlifting at Franklinton High School. He was a coach this past year, 6 years at Franklinton High School. Famous alums from Franklinton's Curtis Taylor, LSU, Brandon Taylor, heck of a safety. Terrence McGee, great running back. Adrian McGee, his cousin. Lonnie Miles played LSU at wide receiver with Mike Hillman. Josh Robinson, Mississippi State, was a great running back for Dak Prescott. Some people say that Josh Robinson helped Dak in that offense. And if it wasn't for Josh, they helped each other get drafted. But that was a special offense that beat LSU in Tiger Stadium their junior year pretty bad. But, Coach, this 220.
A couple more that are playing right now, too, Lee. P.J. Burkhalter Nichols.
That's right.
All Southland Conference. And Todd McGee is a slot receiver. Todd was Terrence's little brother. He's a slot receiver at Louisiana Tech.
Yeah, and they're both McGee's got another year, and then Buckhalter's got a chance to get drafted in the next draft. He's got a chance to be a high draft.
I absolutely believe he does. He is a heck of a football player.
I saw him the other night, Coach, when they played their first game, and he hops on his feet for guy 320, 6'3", 4". I mean, he can move, and he's downfield looking for second-level guys. And I mean, he's a guy that could have started for LSU. But, you know, he developed, as you know, in college. He advanced even more. But, Coach, the 221 kids at Franklinton this past football season, that they're done with eligibility, they're trying to go to college. Some won't, but I just want to mention all these guys. Darrell Kemp, linebacker. Cornelius Dickerson, a great athlete. Caleb Brown. Darius McGee, another McGee. Brian Williams. Trevon Walker, D-tackle. And Kadarius Mart, a heck of an athlete. What do you think of these guys? And are any of them signing late? Because I didn't see where any of them signed on signing day. Are any of them going any schools yet?
I don't think so. You know, they've all – that's the good thing about when, you know, 5A, a lot of kids specialize. On the 4A level, the kids play multiple sports. They're involved in a lot of different things. You know, Caleb Brown is a wide receiver for us. He is currently pitching – and throwing the javelin. I believe he threw 170 feet at Ponchatoula Thursday in the first track meet. So he's a kid who's a multi-sport athlete. Corinthians Dickerson played football, played basketball. Darius McGee played football, played basketball. But I don't know if any of those kids are going to sign. I know that the kids coming up, this next group that's coming in, there's a couple of kids in there who definitely have an opportunity to sign.
We're going
to
mention them, Coach. Speaking of 222, I'm a big fan of Billy Groh, your DN. I mean, you told me about him before the game against St. Charles, and I went and watched him just in the group work, D-line group work before the game. And I said, man, this guy looks the part. And then I watched the game. I mean, we're talking legit 6'3", 230, 240 with feet, tough, strong. Coach, Billy Groh could be a heck of a DN. I think he's got some D1 stuff in him.
And one of those kids who has shoulders enough to add another 25 or 30 pounds without affecting his speed. You know, he was diagnosed as a diabetic, and they didn't know, and it just jumped up on him. Well, ever since he's gotten it and he's kind of gotten it under control, his body has changed. And he has become, he's going to be a weapon for that defense, that's for sure.
He looks like a defensive end that could play in SEC. And then there's Kendarius Brumfield, a really undersized, thick, tough, strong linebacker. Keon Nelson, great corner. I think he's a really good player. Adam Galloway, we're going to talk about him later. He's an O lineman that you coach, but a great power lifter for you. Glenn Mark, receiver, got a lot of talent. Cole Coletti, a punter. And Ethan Sharp, a great high school linebacker. Some great kids in that group.
Yeah, the Cole Coletti is a kid who's really come into his own over the last year. They did a little bit of rugby punting with him, and he does a great job of punching that ball so it's about 6-7 feet off the ground and rolling forward. And there ain't too many punt returners in the world who want to run up and try to field that when he's taking those crazy bounces. Glenn Mark's another one who got a tremendous amount of experience last year because we had so many injuries, so he got a chance to play on the varsity level. So it's not like he's walking into it with wide eyes. The one who could surprise you, I think, is Kendarius Brumfield. They've moved him down to nose guard some. He's just so strong. I'll tell you, he's got to have 15, 16-inch calves, and it just has a motor. You know, he's a football player and a basketball player. Just pure power. They've got a great group of kids. Now, Adam Galloway played center for me. He's one of my power lifters. He is all of 6'3", 250, 265 pounds in season. Now, right now in powerlifting, he's 271 pounds. Okay. And he's a kid who can play center. He's very intelligent. Reads coverages, reads the fronts, and makes the calls. I love that kid.
We're going to talk about the powerlifting team later in the show. Before we go to break, and in our next segment, we're going to talk about the powerlifting team at Franklinton, one of the best in the state outside of West Monroe. Ash, Natchitoches Central, got a chance to be up in the, even up where they are. But I got to ask you this about LaRon Landry again, Coach. You're a big powerlifting guy. You're a strength room coach. How much could he bench press?
You know what? His bench was – it was funny about LaRon is he hated testing. One time I got him to run a true 40. That's with the laser, not with a stopwatch, not a coach's thumb.
Yeah.
But you break the laser at the front, break the laser at the back. And that kid ran a 4.33 in the 40. Mm. In the weight room – bench-wise, he hated benching, but his shoulders were so strong, he would come in there and he'd do power clean and push press with 295 on the bar.
Cool.
And again, all my young kids are looking at him going, Coach, can we be like that? I said, yeah, if y'all follow my program, you'll all end up like LaRon Landry.
So do you think he could have benched 500 if he wanted to, Max? If he wanted to, Max?
Yeah. Yes. I think he's one of those kids, and it's funny. You know, having been in the powerlifting world where they wear bench shirts and squat suits and things like that, that kid never wore a wrist wrap, never taped his wrist.
Wow.
He just climbed under weight and lifted.
Man.
And his body responded.
Wow. That's grown man strength beyond NFL.
Well, he and his brother were the same, you know, in terms of that body.
Yeah.
When when DeJuan played for me back in 99 and 2000, he wanted to go play college football as a quarterback. Well, George O'Leary was at Georgia Tech at the time. They recruited him and ended up starting him at free.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where he played in the NFL. And just one of the smartest players, smartest kids I've ever been around. Just absolutely fun to coach.
You're right. They're both 6'2", 3", 210, 215. Both played free safety DeJuan played a long time with the Ravens when they were in their heyday with Ray Lewis. That was a heck of a defense.
And in the same, you think about now, and this is what everybody talks about, is what talent in Louisiana. At one point, you had Ed Reed and DeJuan Landry in the same defensive backfield, and they're in the same parish.
Crazy.
They grew up in the same parish, and that's the kind of talent that's all over the state.
I remember Ed, coach at Destrehan. He was returning punts in high school. He looked like Tyrann Mathieu when he was like 175. You know, he played at 210 in the NFL.
Yeah.
When he went to Miami, he played at 190. But he was about a 175. But he was like, he played like he was 290 when it hit you. Like you said, he was like a LaRon. When he came, he was a heat-seeking missile when Ed Reed came to hit you. And I knew when Miami signed him, that was, he was a great one. I just, you saw it in him. You know, you saw it in, I saw it in Mathieu and a lot of these guys. But, yeah, Destrehan, he was a heck of a player there. Destrehan's had so many good ones. Hahnville, like you said, John Eric. Reggie Wayne was in the NFL at that time with the Colts, receiver from John Eric. Then you had Marshall Faulk in the NFL at that time from Carver. So much talent, Coach. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about your powerlifting program that you started at Franklinton. You're going to be helping them still at Franklinton, not football coaching this year, but with the powerlifting team that you started. I want to brag on it. You showed it to me. I'm learning as we go, too. I know that I kept up with powerlifting, but I didn't realize how good your team was. And we're going to brag on these guys when we come back. We got more John Lambert. We'll be right back.
Parents, are you looking for advice on getting your high school athlete recruited by the right college? Lee Brekeen is your answer. Lee has been doing it for over 30 years. He knows the ropes, and more importantly, he knows the people. Lee offers turnkey service from evaluation, creating highlight tapes in the correct format, and complete guidelines for effective communication with the schools. No matter the sport, girl or boy, no matter what grade your child is in, let Lee Brekeen help match your child to the right college fit. Go to our website, LAFootballMagazine.com, and get connected today.
Welcome back. You listen to the Sports Scout Report. We have Coach John Lambert, who's at Franklinton. Not Franklin. Franklin's, you know, not far from Houma. This is Franklinton, which is, like I said, Washington Parish, great, great school. Not far from Covington and Mandeville, and you're not too far from New Orleans. But Coach, your powerlifting team at Franklinton, you told me they didn't even have a program, really, for powerlifting until you got there.
Yeah, Shane Smith was the head football coach, and he came to me and said, look, I want you to start a powerlifting program. I said, okay, and I went. I started the way anybody would. I went to YouTube and started watching some videos and then started asking around a little bit. And we kind of put a team together in 2015. And we had a kid named Deontay Cotton who won the state championship my first year in super heavyweight.
He was a good football player.
A kid who, he was a great offensive lineman. I got the opportunity to coach him. And then he deadlifted 660 pounds at state championship and ended up winning the super heavyweight. And so we started this program 5 years ago. My first year, we had four boys and one girl.
Wow.
And this year, it's been just an unbelievable year for us. We've got eight girls going to the state championship. We got six boys going. And it's March 18th through the 20th at the University of Louisiana Monroe, Fant Ewing Coliseum.
What times are those usually, Coach? Day, night? When do those start?
Daytime. They'll go at 9:30 in the morning, and then they'll go until 3 or 4 in the afternoon.
And where do y'all host them, like inside a gym? Where do they set the weights and everything? Where is this at? Indoor?
The majority of the time, you know, Pope John Paul hosts a very good meet. Salmon does a real good job. St. Thomas Aquinas has done one in the past. But it's usually in a gym. At Fant Ewing Coliseum at ULM, they'll have 10 platforms in there.
Okay.
And they'll have 4,000 or 5,000 people in the arena, and it's an exciting event. It's the top 10 kids in each class by weight class.
Okay. Yeah, and I want to mention the guys you gave me, and I'm going to go through them and then get your thoughts, because you gave me their seed rank and their what they weigh. But Tate Landry is a number 2 seed going in the 198-pound class. Shelton Jenkins, you gave me, is a number 1 seed, benches 400, in the 198-pound class, squats 515, deadlifts 500, you told me. Jalen McGee, another McGee, man, there's a lot of McGees in Franklinton. Number 2 seed in the 181-pound class. And Adam Galloway, the football player we talked about, has got a year football left. offensive lineman, number 7 seed in, like you said, the 275-pound class at 271. Any girls you want to mention individually that have a chance?
And that's Tate Landry, the first one.
Tate, yeah.
She is the principal's, our assistant principal's daughter.
Wow.
She is, she's a dancer. She's been doing dance her whole life, and she's dainty and wears pink, and,
yeah.
You know, she's all, but when she steps under the weight, you know, she squats 280 pounds.
What?
Yeah, she deadlifted 285 pounds.
Oh, God.
So in 4A, we're chasing Tioga. Tioga has a fabulous powerlifting team. Mm. And I keep talking to our kids about trying to reach their level. And Tate is a sophomore. And she is going to go to state and have a chance to fight for a state championship.
Wait a minute,
on the
coach.
Girls side.
Wait a minute, coach. She's a sophomore?
Sophomore.
And she's deadlifting 280?
Yes. What? Deadlifts 280, squats 280.
And she's only, what, 15, 14?
15.
She's got
can't even drive yet. She can push the car, but she can't drive it.
So you're talking about Tate Landry one day maybe breaking every record possible, potentially for the girls' division, maybe in the state.
One of the most dedicated little ladies I've ever met, a 4.0 student, and just a fabulous person, just a great heart, too.
Wow.
So I really believe she's somebody who can do something legendary at this school.
What do you think of Shelton Jenkins with the numbers? I mean,
you know, it's heartbreaking, and I'll say this, it's heartbreaking because he was the number one seed last year as a ninth grader.
Wow.
He's a 10th grader.
Wow.
And his total was 1,415 pounds. He's the number one seed in 4A in his class, and he may have been state champion last year too. He has the opportunity to be, at least now since the pandemic knocked out his ninth grade year, a three-year state champion.
Wow. What is the highest lift because of strength? I'm a big strength room guy. You know, I was a small guy, but, Coach, you would love this. I never tell you this. I mean, I'm 5'8", and in high school I weighed 160, but I was small. But when I got under the bench, I benched 310. I maxed at 310. I was proud of that, like 160
pounds. Nice.
But I worked hard. You know what I mean? I wasn't
right.
Naturally strong. I worked 5 days a week for 5 years, and people like, you'll never bench 3. Well, I said, my goal, I want to get 305, 310. And at 165 was the highest I could weigh. And we had a pretty strong weight room at Central High School, and we had some strong guys. And we had some guys bench, you know, 350, 400. We had some 500-pound squats. One guy did 550. I did 450 at 165.
Nice.
So I keep up with it. I'm very new to this powerlifting team stuff. That's why I'm glad you came on. But I do know the lingo, you know, because I came up lifting weights. What is the best lifts that you've seen since you've been a part of the sport, Coach, from other teams? Have you seen some crazy stuff?
You know, on the north shore of Lake Pontchartrain, all through St. Tammany, that's where the strength of – they have six divisions in powerlifting. North, south, east, and west, Bayou, and central. And so the sport is growing unbelievably. But on the north shore of Lake Pontchartrain, North Shore High School, Covington, Slidell, Mandeville, Pope John Paul, and St. Paul's, you know, last Saturday, Lee, St. Paul's won. They won the regional at Pope John Paul in powerlifting. They won the state championship in soccer, and they won the state championship in wrestling in one day.
Wow.
So the powerlifting on in this area, I just go to these meets, and I'm a sponge. I'm going to be quiet, and I'm going to listen to guys who have forgotten more about powerlifting than I'll ever learn.
Yeah.
But it's made our team so much better.
Yeah. I mean, have you seen any 600-pound squats or 500-pound benches?
You know, we walked in. It was the last 2 years the state championship was in Alexandria at Repeats Parish Coliseum.
Yeah.
But before that, it was where we're going back to this year at ULM. We walked in 3 years ago. There was a kid from Leesville, and I'm not sure what his name was, but he squatted 800 pounds.
What?
Yeah, it was – there are, you know, you're always going to have a kid – at at a school here and there who are just freakishly strong in every area.
Okay, here's what I do remember, and let me ask you if it's the same in these powerlifting meets. Tell me if it's the same rules. When you're lifting in high school, like you, when you were strength coach at Hahnville, all these schools, when I was in high school, the coach, if you were doing a max, like when I did that 305, I thought every vein in my body was going to blow up. And the coach, and the coach grabbed the bar, but he didn't lift it, he didn't push it. And the rules was, I'm just going to make sure it didn't fall on you, and I'm just, you got to lift it, right, for it to count. How is the rules in powerlifting with putting your hands on the bar if you're not the kid? How does that work?
You get a lift off in bench, and then they'll say start, and you bring it to your chest and pause and have to hold dead still.
Wow.
Then they'll say press, and then you have to lock it out. And then once you've locked it out, they'll say rack it.
Whoa.
But in that time, you're on your own.
Whoa. Wow.
Now, there are three people spotting. One behind and two on each side, but it's you're on your own.
Squat's the same thing then, huh?
Well, squat, you step out with it, and they tell you to squat, you have to go parallel plus 2 inches.
Cool.
So you're past parallel, then come back up and stand dead still, lock your knees out, and go rack the weight.
And you saw a kid do 800 doing it? Unbelievable.
I saw a kid do 800, and wow. I guarantee you, I'll film a couple kids for you and send it to you. At this state championship, I wish people knew more about it because I think if people got to see it, they would be amazed by the effort that these kids put in.
And John, have you ever watched The World's Strongest Man at like 3 a.m. on ESPN? You ever seen that?
Oh, yeah.
And these guys are like Bon Buris or whatever from Dutch, or this guy like Sorkesen from like Denmark. They're all from Europe almost. And they're all like, 6'5", 400 pound guys benching, like lifting cars up and, what, pulling cars with chains behind? That is a different deal, but it's a crazy what a man or what a kid can do safely with strength. I mean, it's just crazy.
It's funny when you go, you know, I work our halls and recruit girls and recruit boys, and when you go recruit a girl, the first thing they say is, "Oh, I don't want to look like a Hulk," and powerlifting doesn't do that. You know, it's going to change your body. You know, Tate Landry's one who has lost a substantial amount of weight in 2 years and gotten so much stronger. She's 40 pounds stronger now than she was last year.
Man.
Part of that is technique, and part of that is starting to understand how nutrition, how flexibility, and how just little bitty technique tweaks can make you stronger.
And if football players, if football players will listen to you,
Jalen McGee,
They need to do this.
Jalen McGee, our number 2 seed in the 181, he's a kid who he did 500 pounds on his deadlift, and then we took a shot at it on his last one. He almost pulled 560 pounds.
Man.
He was an inch away from it. He squatted 500. So here's a 181-pound linebacker who in the weight room for powerlifting is just so dedicated, it's completely changed his life.
Yeah, this strength that you're talking about on the football field would make coaches smile all day. I mean, like you said, this helps take you to another level. It's all about power as linemen, like you said, especially linebacker, OD line. The edge is what? Bigger, faster, stronger. So.
Oh, yeah.
West Monroe's pretty good in this, coach, you said. I've heard of that. Alexandria High School, Nacogdoches Central, they've been doing it forever, right? These schools.
Oh, yeah. The school that is the host school for the state championships, West Monroe. And I've seen them walk into a meet with 72 people.
Cool.
I mean, they've just got a massive team. But you come across, I think that this year St. Paul's has a chance to win the state championship in 5A. Because I think their coach, Jesse, qualified his entire team. And, you know, that's your goal. You bring 11 kids to regionals, and they're trying to get to state. If all 11 kids can get to state and they can score some points, you have a chance to win a state championship.
Coach,
we're trying to hit.
Give that date out again for people that don't know much about it that might get pumped up from this interview hearing this. When's the date again in ULM of Monroe University?
It's March 18th through the 20th. On the 18th is Division 1, 2, and 3, which is 1, 2, and 3A. On Friday, the 19th, is all girls. All the girls lift on Friday. And then on Saturday is 4A, 5A boys. Man. If you're in the area close to ULM and you want to see some kids do some amazing things with weight, take a chance and come see this sport.
Coach, I'm going to miss it by 2 days. I'm meeting with Terry Bowden. On earlier, 2 days earlier. Man, I wish I was
If you go meet with Terry, now look, his OC is Rich Rodriguez.
That's right.
I've known Rich when my first year of coaching out of college was at a place called Concord College in West Virginia.
Oh, I didn't know you were there.
Yeah, for 1 year. And the head coach at Glenville State was Rich Rodriguez.
Yep.
Now, he's going to deny it. But we had a real good tailback named Chris Harrison. We played Glenville State on a beautiful, sunny Saturday afternoon. It hadn't rained in 3 weeks. But somehow, the sprinkler system got turned on at night, and the field was a quagmire. And I still blame Rich Rodriguez for that.
He was scared of y'all speed.
Oh, listen. And then when Rich was at West Virginia, when Rich was at Tulane with Tommy, on my off period, I would go up and watch and listen to them talk football. Mm-hmm. And so when we got to Hanville and Calvin McGee, who is at Duke now with David Cutcliffe.
Oh, man, he's been
Calvin.
Around.
Right. Calvin's a Booker T. Washington kid who played with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Well, Calvin is the offensive coordinator for Cutcliffe now up at Duke.
Yeah.
And Calvin was recruiting Darius Reynard, and I had a little nudge in there because I'm a West Virginia fan of getting Darius to go to WVU. Well, Louie and Mike Silva and myself, we all went and visited West Virginia. And then we visited Rich again when he was in Arizona. So I've known him for a little while. You just got to ask him about that now. He'll deny it that he watered that field down.
I'm going to ask him about the sprinkler system. I'll say, Coach, what about that sprinkler system, man, between these two teams?
That's right.
You know, Darius Reynard was one of my favorites to play at Hanville, and he was so tough with Pat White at West Virginia. They had a heck of an offense with Slayton, him, Pat White, and that was a heck of an offense. Man, they were good. They were good. They helped LSU win a national championship. They beat – who did they beat that night to get LSU in the national championship?
Pitt. They lost to Pitt. Why did you bring that up? That just hurts my heart.
But that helped LSU. That helped LSU get in, remember?
Yeah, it did. That's why it happened.
And Pitt wasn't supposed to beat West Virginia. That was a huge upset.
Yeah, we should never lose to Pitt.
Pat White was from Mobile, Alabama, Daphne, Alabama. And then you had the Slayton kid. Look, I got one of my good friends. You're going to like this. I never told you this, Coach, but one of my good friends is Chris Wallace, who's GM of the Memphis Grizzlies.
Right.
And he's still with the Memphis Grizzlies. Not currently GM, but he was GM with the Miami Heat, Boston Celtics. He's a huge West Virginia fan. He's from West Virginia. I don't know if you knew that.
That's where I'm from.
I didn't even know that. I always thought you were from Louisiana. I never knew you were from West Virginia. I didn't know that till today. Man. So now I know another West Virginia Mountaineer.
That's right. Fan. Two. You have two on your roster now.
Look, every time I talk to Chris, he tells me or asks me about who they're recruiting, and you know when they offer somebody in Louisiana, get the update on them, or you know he's always talking about how they have to sign players from all over, you know, like Ohio, you know, Pennsylvania, Florida. West Virginia has to really put a team together, right, Coach? They have to recruit the whole.
What you end up having to do is, and there's some talent in West Virginia for sure, but they recruited, you know, when Rich got the job and hired Calvin, he told Calvin, look, I want you working I-10 from out west by DeRidder all the way back to Slidell. Don't even leave I-10, just go 10. He goes, then go over 12. And that's what he recruited. And they had kids, you know, West Virginia had Bell Chase wide receiver Chris Henry.
Yeah, yeah.
They got Darius. They got a couple of other kids. West Virginia got out of Landry Walker, I believe.
Yeah.
So there have been a few kids who have made that little trip. You got to convince them to that it's going to get a little bit cold in West Virginia.
And look, Coach, I can't forget growing up, I was a fan of West Virginia because of Coach Don Nealon.
Oh yeah,
he was one of those legendary coaches that stayed there 20 plus years. And
oh yeah,
and he had them competitive, and they've always upset some big teams over the years. Always an upset.
Here's a great question for you: who did Don Nealon take over for at West Virginia? Bobby Bowden.
That's right. You know, Terry, you know, was telling me, reminded me the other day how they were from the West Virginia area. He was reminding me that.
I guarantee you, he grew up there, at least part of his life.
Yeah, and then did you, I don't know if you heard my show with Terry Bowden, but he mentioned, and I didn't know this, Coach, but when Bobby Bowden was at Florida State, you know, he took over a losing program at Florida State. It was horrible. They weren't very good. And he built them up. Before he built them up, before he became a big name, they played LSU in Tiger Stadium in 1979. I was 9 years old. I was at the game. And he told Terry Bowden and Tommy Bowden, who were grad assistants on the staff at the time at Florida State with their dad, told his sons, he said, if I lose to LSU, I'm taking the LSU job. They offered me the job to replace Charlie Mack. If I beat LSU, then I'm going to stay at Florida State. It was basically a coin toss on him winning or losing that game.
How about that?
Is that crazy?
That is. And the funny part is I played college football with a kid named John Lilly.
Oh, he was good.
He's the tight ends coach right now he was with the Rams. When Fisher got fired, he came and worked with Tennessee for a little bit, but he's at North Carolina now, tight ends coach and recruiting coordinator for Mac. Well, he was a GA for Bobby Bowden. And when you sit and talk with him and he tells these stories of the defense coordinator for Bobby there toward the end was Chuck Amato.
Yeah.
And the offense coordinator was Mark Richt.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Man, you talk about some talent on that staff.
And here's some trivia for you. 1979, who were the quarterbacks at LSU against Florida State? Steve Ensminger.
Oh.
And David Woodley, the late David Woodley, who played in the Super Bowl with the Miami Dolphins.
That's right, number 16.
Steve Ensminger was alternating with Woodley. He liked to use two quarterbacks, Mac did, back in the day. A lot of those coaches did. They didn't like to throw the ball much back then. and then Hoki Gajon was the running back who played for the Saints.
Talk about tough.
Baker native. The late Hoki Gajon was a tough guy. Yeah, great guy.
Love it.
Coach, thanks for joining us. I think we got everything out there, and I'm happy to get the powerlifting team on the map because, look, I grew up weightlifting, but you taught me a lot about powerlifting today, and I'm pumped up about it. And I hope we got to a lot of people today, let them know about the sport because I don't think it gets covered at all, you know, hardly, unless you're in the sport, right? If you're not in the sport,
right. You
don't know what's going on. You don't even – now, today, you do know. We gave the meet date out. It's going to be at ULM of Monroe. And it's coming up. And give that date out one more time before we go, Coach.
March 18th through the 20th at Pant Ewing Coliseum at ULM.
And it'll be during the day, and you'll get to see all these young girls and boys at all the different high schools at all the levels, like Coach said, just like football, competing for state championships. And I hope you win it all, Coach, at Franklinton. I hope y'all can win one. Or, you know, even if you don't win one, heck, the program's at another level right now. And wherever you end up in the future, I know you kind of taking some time off outside of powerlifting, but obviously you'll be probably coaching again somewhere in the future down the road and talking. And,
oh, yeah.
And we'll get this show to you pretty soon. And, I appreciate you being on. And all the stories, people I know are going to love the stories here in the show today. Don't hang up. I want to end the show by saying go to our website, LAFootballMagazine.com. We're working on our 221 issue. It'll be our 25th year, 25 years of doing the magazine, and we're going to have it out early September, late August. You can go on the website. You can read stories on Hammond's head coach, Dorsett Buckles, and we also have some other interviews. We have a story on West Monroe. They're a great special teams unit. Their punter, kicker, and long snapper all went D1. What a great problem to have. Punter's going LSU. Kicker's going to ULM. Long snappers go on D1 as well. So, I mean, heck, West Monroe, they got some great players over there too. But we'll see you. We'll see you soon.
Thanks for listening to the Sports Scouting Report podcast with Lee Brekeen.